Apostle Paul was writing in the closing of his epistle in the book of Philippians, finally he said, of course he appreciated all those supporters that supported him, and he concluded in his epistle, he said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound in your account. Church, when you finance the gospel to preach all over the world, the missionary is opening an account for you. Amen. By the way, that's the only thing we can bring to heaven. Amen? Nothing. When we die, we can bring nothing. But when we evangelize the word and bring the lost souls before the feet of Jesus, that's the only thing that we can bring to heaven. Thank you so much for helping us, praying for us, being behind us, being just a part of what we're doing in the Philippines. About my family, well, hallelujah, my 31-year-old girl, somebody got enough courage to ask permission to marry my girl. Hello, I'm okay, sir. Okay. Yeah, and I said, well, you got it. You're the only one that got the carriage, amen? I mean, my girl is a doctor. She's been so engaged of working, helping the ministry, and helping poor people. And this guy is so courageous, you know, scared to death, coming to me, ask permission to marry my girl. I said, boy, before you come to me, I already prayed if you're the man. And I will tell you, you are the man. Amen? She was jumping on the air. Amen? But this coming October 7th, it's a wedding day. We got in here June 27. We'll be back on September 28th. So next Sunday is our last weekend in Michigan. I have two more meetings in Michigan, Detroit area, and then be back home and prepare for the wedding day. Amen. My son, James, is the one in charge while I am away. Praise the Lord. 2 Sundays ago, we got a church anniversary celebration. We had 954 attended our service. And I praise God for that. Amen. Now, church, I'm quite excited here to tell you, you know, my son surrendered his life. He finished in college, but he is preaching and God called him. My youngest boy was influenced by his sister to be a doctor also. So last year, he went to a medical school preparing to be a doctor. This April, this year, in our camp, he surrendered his life to be a preacher too. So I'm so happy to tell you that God calling our families in the full-time service in the work of the Lord. I'm the happiest person in the world because our family serving the Lord together. And when this guy asked me, preacher, what I gonna do to get me to marry your girl? I said, you cannot take away my girl, but just doing the team to serve the Lord. You know what I mean? I mean, the family is you know, it's a wonderful thing to serve together as a family. So please pray for us. Of course, my little boy, 8-year-old boy, our adopted boy, he's cute as can be. I miss him so much already. So church, thank you for praying for us about our family and our ministries. And I hope tomorrow night or Wednesday night, you'll be able to see the progress of all these works. In this trip that God given to me, there are many things that are taking place which excite me. And I'm telling you, when you are excited and got the heart to serve the Lord, God has many surprises along the way. You know, I've been doing this tent ministry for 24 years. And last year, over 2,500 souls got saved. And now, I got a bigger tent, 3 times bigger than what I got. Guess what? It's on the way to my door in the Philippines. So please pray for us. And I got the tent, you know, we have the tent, we ship over that one. And I said, what are you going to do with this one if we do not have a big, good, strong sound system? I've been praying and praying for that. I said, Lord, give us the money to buy good, decent, strong sound system. Guess what? Yesterday, the car of Brother Jeff cannot hold the whole system of sound system. Now, tomorrow, me and Brother Stanley will pack that up and ship it over to the Philippines. And that's exciting how the Lord worked, really. And I want you to pray because I have to increase my faith. I have no idea how to put that big tent up. I have no idea, I have no clue. I asked the company to send me how to do it. I don't know if I can do it. But please pray for us. I am asking the Lord to complete the needs like the poles. I have already a complete straps that I need and the sound system some few items for our sound system that James said to cover the whole thing. So please pray for the remaining needs and so that we can have this 25 silver tent revival anniversary celebration. Amen. So please pray for us. We can put 2,500 people in that tent in the Philippines. So please pray for us. That's it. So excited to see how the Lord really worked in a very special way. So church, again, I appreciate you for having me tonight and this week. I'm looking forward that God will just honor His name first and strengthen our faith above all. Otherwise, our coming back and forth to church is nothing unless nothing happened in our hearts. So what we need this week, we have to open our heart to let God speak to us and change us. Amen? Amen. So please pray for us. Before I preach tonight, I would like to recognize here my friend, the Wilson family here. You know, almost every day with Stanley, you know, they have a nice park over there. Me and my wife, we walk and exercise. And we have a good time, this couple here, we talk. And I said, I'll be preaching in Mount Lebanon this coming Sunday night and all the way to Wednesday. I want you to come. So I would like to ask to Stan Wilson couple here to, you know, stand please. And let's give them a good hand. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much. And awful blessing to see them coming tonight. Amen. Now, tonight, please turn your Bible. I was coming this way. I'm really asking the Lord what's going to be my message. So I believe God has something for us tonight. Preacher, thank you again for giving me this privilege of standing before your pulpit. And I thank you for your kindness and your goodness to me. Turn your Bible, please, in the book of Acts chapter 13 tonight. In the book of Acts chapter 13, since I am your missionary, I have to preach this subject first tonight. And I hope you'll come tomorrow night by God's grace. I'm preparing something. And I just trust that the Lord will use it really to give us what we need. You know, if you are not thirsty, you don't need to go to the place where you can drink. If you are not hungry, you'll not go to the place where there is good food. My prayer tonight is that all of us tonight will feel that we need the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We need the power of God. Because our Christianity is all lifeless and useless without the Word of God. And it's only the Word of God that can give us life. in our service in the work of the Lord. So here in the book of Acts chapter 13, I want you to see something here in verse 2. Acts 13 verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord, the word they, he is talking about the church of Antioch. Amen. First thing they did, my friend, they ministered to the Lord. Number two, and fasted. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, listen to me now. Next phrase, the Holy Ghost said. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost said. Now, let us pray. Father, please help me here. I feel that I am not worthy. Forgive me and cleanse me away of all my sins. Give me the freedom that I need and liberty in the Spirit of God. God, help us, please. I am asking you, please come down and visit this church tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we study our Bible, Jesus Christ came for two purposes. Number one, he came to be the Savior of the world. And number two, he came to found the church. Amen? So that's the two reasons why he came. He came and died on the cross and paid all the sins of the world. And also he came and he said, and upon this rock I will build my church. Hallelujah. The true church, the builder is Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He came. He did not bring religion. He did not came to bring any organization. He came to build the church. After he founded the church, the Bible says that before he went up to heaven, he said, hey, don't move. Don't go anywhere, church. Hey, by the way, before I do that, listen to me now. Listen to me. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is the founder of the church. By the way, the true church, the founder is Jesus Christ. I'm born and raised as a Catholic boy. When I was a Catholic boy, I thought, hey, we were the first religion in the world. I just found out that when I started studying my Bible, oh, before Catholic, Jesus Christ founded already his church. Amen. Amen? So Jesus Christ is the founder. And it started in Jerusalem. And it started with the 12 apostles. Listen to me now closely. The founder is Jesus Christ. And the first members were the 12 apostles. And Jesus Christ himself with the 12 apostles were baptized by John the Baptist. Hallelujah. It's in the book. Amen. Hey, can you read in your Bible that Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist and the 12 apostles? Hey, tell me, what kind of church then? You have no choice but a Baptist church, because it's in the book. Baptist church is not religion. Church is not religion. Church is not denomination. Church is not a sect. Church is a church. Church from the Greek word is ecclesia. It's a group of baptized assembly. Praise God, Christ is the head and the church is the body. Now you got the founder. Christ now founded the church, the body. And before Jesus Christ went up to heaven, he said, hey, church, 12 apostles, relax. Don't move until the Holy Ghost will come. And they were waiting and praying and waiting and praying. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven after 50 days. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost came down and breathed the power of God. And the church was on the move. The church was empowered by the Holy Ghost. And just one preaching, first crusade, 3,000 souls got saved. You know why? They got the Holy Ghost. In chapter 2, they got 3,000 souls saved. In chapter 4, they got 5,000 souls saved. In chapter 5, multitudes of people added to the church. In chapter 6, and then multitudes. And the word of God was preached to every house. They turned the world upside down. And many priests got converted. Why? They got the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something tonight? That is what we are missing. The power of the Holy Ghost in our churches. You know why we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost? Because we are smart enough. We manipulate the power of the Holy Ghost. We are smart enough. We do not give chance the Holy Ghost to work in our churches. That's why we do not have revival, because we manipulated the work of God instead allowing the Holy Ghost to work through us. That's what we're missing. Amen? That's why churches in America is in deathbed. Christianity is dying because we cripple the work of the Holy Ghost in our churches. The first 8 chapters in the book of Acts, you find out that it was the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why this book, we call it Acts. It is the Acts, the works of the Holy Ghost in the lives of the believers. That's why we have less impact to the community. Our churches today has no impact to our town and to our city, because we do not allow the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. That's what we're missing. Amen? Now, the first 8 chapters, they turn the world upside down. And in chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, persecution of the first church. But praise God, I'm telling you, when you got the power of God, you're willing to sacrifice. You are even willing to offer your life for the cause of Christ. As a result of the power of the Holy Ghost of that church, now the church of Antioch, listen to the Holy Ghost. That's why. That's my message today. Now, what I'm trying to tell you here is a picture of a church that Christ founded. My question to you, that's a kind of church we have? Or the only thing we got is religion? Amen? That is the whole picture. That is a kind of church that God expects us to do, to be. But what's going on around? We have less impact. We do not have converts. No baptism. We come to church because it's Sunday. We don't come to church because it's something that we're excited about. Oh God, help us. Listen to me. A preacher cannot bring revival. No pastor can bring revival. Only the Holy Ghost can revive you. Are we willing to give our hearts and listen to the Holy Ghost? That is my emphasis as far as the context of the passage is concerned. The church of Antioch were praying, ministering to the Lord and fasted, and then he said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. What you're talking about, preacher? This is my message tonight. Listen to me. You should realize and you should understand that if you study the New Testament, you find out that the New Testament is a missionary book. Why do you have this first foreign missionary venture or first missionary work is a result of revival of the church that Christ founded. This is the result of revival in the church of Jerusalem. And the key of revival during the time is the power of the Holy Ghost. If we'll give him the chance to speak to us. No great preacher can bring revival. Only the Holy Ghost. Amen? Only the Holy Ghost. Every author was a foreign missionary. The books were written to mission churches and missionary converts. The central character is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Of him it was truly said by great missionary David Livingstone. He said, God had only one son and he made him a missionary. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, great missionary David Livingstone. He said, God had only one son and he made him a missionary. Praise God. The first missionary was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first mission field is the world. The heartbeat, my friend, of God the Father is mission. Amen. That's why I told the church today, once we do not have and lose that heart on missions, listen, wow, our Christianity and our church is gonna die when we lose that heartbeat, which is the heartbeat of God, which is mission. That's the key thing of the whole thing here in our mission, in the work of the Lord. So as I said earlier, that the book of Acts, actually the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the lives of these the believers in the New Testament, verse 1 and 2, it teaches us, my friend, that the local church, I'm talking the church of Antioch here, is the source of missionary personnel. We should understand tonight that if you want to strengthen our mission program, the number one doctrine in the book of Acts is teaching us that our local church is the source of missionary personnel. Amen? That's very clear. Why you see that, preacher? It is the business of the local church to provide missionaries because of the nature of the call. God's method is a man. God uses men to proclaim the gospel. By the way, God's men are found only in the local church. You can be a doctor, you can be a farmer, you can be an engineer, but only God's men are found in the local church. And God called only for our missionaries out from our church. My friend, we have to pray that God may call missionaries out from your church. Not only because of the nature of the call, because also of the nature of the church. The church is a living organism. The result of maturity in any living organism is reproduction. It is a sign of a church spiritual maturity when God is calling missionaries out from our church. Church, you have to pray that God may call missionaries out from your church. Parents, how do you pray? Probably, how do you pray for your children and for your grandchildren? Probably God may call them to be a missionary. Sometimes this is our attitude and this is our mindset. If we have children and this one has a good IQ, we encourage this child to be a doctor or engineer when this boy has a high IQ. When this one here is not very good in academic and low IQ, then we say, oh, be a missionary. Hey, God calls the best of missions. Where in the world you can find the great believers in the New Testament? Paul and Barnabas were great believers, yet God called them as first foreign missionaries to cross the border of the Jewish tribe. God calls the best of missions. Amen? So we preach the Lord that God is calling. Why, preacher? Because Christians are to reproduce more Christians, and pastors are to reproduce more workers, and churches are to reproduce more mission work. Listen, church, mission is a good thermometer of the church spirituality. How do you know that the church is active? How do we know that the church is in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and in love with God? How do you engage in mission? That's how you measure your love to God. Why, preacher? For God so loved the world, and He gave His only begotten Son. So, my friend, it is our giving. It is the business of the Holy Ghost to call missionaries. And then also in verse 3. Look in verse 3. Listen to this in verse 3. I like that one. And when they had fasted and prayed. What is that, preacher? Not only our local church is the source of missionary personnel. Number 2. The local church is the sanctuary or a place of missionary prayer. Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, when they had fasted and prayed, church, let me ask you tonight, how much and how long you spend every day in your prayer time praying for missionaries? Can I tell you something tonight? Your number one job and number one responsibility to God for your mission program is to pray for your missionaries. I would rather have tons of hours praying for us than tons of money. Why? When you pray, when you just give your money without prayer, money will only do what money can do. But when you pray, God will do the work. That's why as a part of revival, as a part of revival of the first church, the church of Antioch, listening to the speaking and working power of the Holy Ghost. And while they were listening, my friend, the Holy Ghost said to the church, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. What is that, preacher? Which means, my friend, that our church is the source of personnel. Our church is the place of prayer for our mission work. In the Old Testament time, the temple of God is the house of prayer for the nation of Israel. In the New Testament time, in our time, our local church is the house of prayer for all over the world. Amen. we are more effective as missionaries out in the field if we can collect more faithful and deeper prayers from our supporters. A strong mindset is a wrong practice that when you get involved in the work of the Lord on mission, you always think of money. That is not in the book. Your number one job for missionary work is to pray. That's why Jesus Christ said, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. And he said, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Christ kept on teaching that prayer is number one responsibility of the church for the work or for the mission work of the local church. So my friend, missionaries come in answer to prayer. Missionary praying, listen to me. Missionary praying is to be the atmosphere of the church. Prayer is the continued essential of missions. Missionaries need to be prayed for. Missionaries need to pray also. My friend, that's the reason why in China, in Russia, in the Philippines, we had revival, because we believe that prayer is the number one job of every single Christian. Let me tell you this and share this with you. Every time we have revival meeting, before revival meeting, we have months and months of deposited hours in our prayer. I found out that the more we spend hours in prayer, the more we see results. In the Philippines, like in my leadership, in my Bible college, my pastorals, in my training in Bible college, I teach our people outside from prayer, you'll never see the chance how God would work in your ministry. You study how revival took place. After Bible time, it all started on our knees. You know why we don't experience God-given, heaven-sent revival? Because you are lazy spending time in our prayers. We can spend more time on our television set than spending time talking to God. That's the reality. No wonder we cannot see the unusual wonders of God in our time. Why? We are convicted that we are so lazy of our prayer. For the last 24 years, every time we put up that tent up, we always go somewhere, me and my staff and our people, we go somewhere overnight praying, fasting. From 6 o'clock in the afternoon, then we end up 6 o'clock early in the morning. We won already the battle against the devil when we get out from that prayer spot. We will not get up. We will not stop praying until God given us insurance, an assurance in our soul that now God answered prayer. One time we went somewhere, just not that very far from our place. I brought my people along that seashore and we prayed. And that place was a public place, and even 2 o'clock is a beach, and 2 o'clock in the morning drunkard will just go to that beach and just drink alcohol and everything. And I had this group praying along this seashore and praying hard that the Lord will come down in our tent meeting and the Lord will just manifest His power strongly in our ministry, in our leadership. And God will just save this Catholic people. We prayed and prayed. While we were praying and crying out before the Lord, the drunkards came up to us and said, "Hey, crazy Baptist people. They disturb us. They try to drive us away." And I asked the group to just get away from them and move this way and continue to pray. And then before we reached 6 o'clock in the morning, I told them, right now, we have to pray that somehow God will give us our own property, a Christian camp, so that when we pray, no one could stop us, no one could disturb us. Let us pray that God will give us our own property. We prayed. When we get up from that spot, after 6 o'clock, my soul is already rejoicing. And that Sunday morning, I told the church, "Hey, church, we have now the piece of property. God already answered our prayer." I'm excited how the Lord would really show this to us. To make a long story short, just after 1 week of that praying, somebody called us up. And he said, "Brother, no. I don't know why I cannot sleep here in America. I know it's daytime in the Philippines. I'm so bothered here. What's going on you? Can I know what's going on? I'm so bothered. I've been thinking of you here." And I told him, "Preacher, God knows. Last night we were praying hard that God will answer our prayer. We are craving God that God will give us our own piece of property so that anytime and anywhere we can just pray and no one would bother us. And plus, we need a piece of property for our Christian camp. I need a Christian camp." Guess what? He said, "How much you need?" Don't ever ask that question to a missionary. I know my verse. Psalm said, "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." You open your mouth wide before God and God will fill it. And he said, "How much you need?" I told him the amount. That's how we got Camp Canaan. Amen. It's a miracle. Don't ask me the amount. It's a tons of money. But God, hear our prayers. Amen. Amen. Church, listen to me. You're serving powerful, miraculous God. And that is now our problem in Christianity. We lose the excitement. We lose our faith. Amen. Why? We are not willing to spend our time with the Lord in our prayer. We are not willing to give up and sacrifice ourselves and spend time in the Spirit of God and in prayer. That's what we are missing in our Christianity. When we pray, many times, and you know that you know that your prayer is just like on the ceiling. You don't have an assurance in your soul that God answered prayer. But it's exciting when the Holy Ghost is in your soul and in your spirit and you're praying. He will just lead you and guide you. Before you know it, He will increase your faith and He will fulfill His plan for your life. And that's the thing that excites me, serving the living God. But prayer. So prayer, my friend, is very important in our mission work and in our ministry, in our revival meeting. So what I'll be asking you tonight, there will be no revival. Nothing will happen Unless you believe what I preach tonight, unless you believe the word of God, unless you believe the conviction of the Holy Ghost that you are guilty of being lazy in your prayer life, nothing will happen. I guarantee you, unless you're convicted and said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm so selfish spending my time in the Spirit of God in prayer. I am convicted that I do not have the time, spend time in prayer. Then also in verse 3, the second phrase, what is that? Not only when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. After they sent them away, look in verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. What is that, preacher? Not only the local church is the source of missionary personnel, not only the local church is the sanctuary of missionary prayer, also in this phrase, the local church is the supplier of missionary provision. What do you mean, preacher? The words send and sent in verse 3 and 4 are different words in the Greek. I mean, the word in verse 3 denotes to send with substance. It was their oriental custom during the time that when the traveler will ask you to stay overnight in your house, and if you as the host would say yes, you can stay overnight in our home, it is their common practice that you have to provide their next day journey when they take off next day. So when the Bible says they sent them away from the original Greek word, which means the church of Antioch inwardly sent by the Holy Ghost, but outwardly they were sent with the church of Antioch with their substance or support. Church, I hope that helped you. That when God founded the church, not only He empowered the church, but as well as He commanded the church to go and preach the gospel to every creature. You cannot go. Brother Jeff cannot go without money. I cannot do the work. No resource, nothing would happen without financial need. That's the way how God's program set in the book. It is our responsibility as Christians to sustain the work of God in our local church. That's why God said, you have to return your 10%. No one amen with that now. I know when I touch your pocket, no one would say amen. It's very clear. In the Old Testament time, since the beginning of the altar worship and the tabernacle worship and the temple worship, it's very clear that the worshipers should worship God by bringing their 10%. You're not worshiping God if you're not returning your 10%. And I will add on the thing, you are not right with God if you are not returning your 10%. Amen. Oh no, brother, no, I don't like you. I think you have to study your Bible. Yeah. It's in the book though. Amen? Amen? Your Bible has Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. It's still there? Hallelujah, it's in the book. You're still my friend. I think you got a problem. You know what your problem is? Yourself. Not this preacher. You know why? What's your problem? Because you touch things which is not yours. And the worst thing for you, you touch things that belongs to the altar. That is sacred. That is holy. Your 10% is sacred. Your 10% is holy. That's why God said when you touch that, you are cursed with a curse because you are taking away things that belongs to the altar. That scared me to death. And some of you are under the curse because you do not return the 10% and you don't know it. I will not come back here, preacher, tomorrow. I promise you, no more subject on that thing. We'll have revival tomorrow. Amen. Everything tomorrow is on revival. Amen. But I'm telling you, regardless how faithful you are, how showy you are, if you don't return your 10%, there's something wrong inside. Amen. And you're not right with God. Hey, can I tell you something? You are not right with God. You are not right with God. Even how holy you are, how wonderful Christian you are, one word, you are not right with God. But God on the other side, He said, try me. The source of the blessing, the source of our strength, the source to bless our family, to bless our income, to bless our farming, to bless our animals and everything. The source is the very one that said and challenged us, try me. If God said, try me, He is trustworthy and He cannot lie. That's why I'm preaching that on you. Because the only way that God can continue to bless you when you continually, faithfully return the 10%. He said, try me. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessings, that there shall not room enough to receive it. Which means that God will command more blessings on you. He said, you bless that man. You bless that man. He's returning his 10%. You bless that man. Continue to bless that man. He is faithful. I'm not the one promising that to you. The God of that book that promised to you. Now, your tithing last today and last Sunday is that one. If all of you in this room will just get right with God, that anything passes in your hands this week, 10% belongs to God, that offering will be double. Amen. Yes, preacher. There will be no revival. The Holy Ghost is not going to work unless there is certain area in our heart that we are not right with God. Amen? Can you imagine our people in the Philippines? Work under the sun 8 to 10 hours a day and make $4 a day. Our people only make $4 a day. But these people that work in the field, sugarcane field, that God converted, I have no choice but to teach them the Bible so that when they obey the Bible, the source of the blessing can bless them. So I teach them that anything you make, 10% belongs to God. And you know what? God bless those people who obey God. Amen. Amen. Right now, we saw many young people, since they were high school, grow up, and we teach them from Sunday school, converted from Catholic family. God converted, and since they got converted, we teach them, and all the way, they return their 10%, and you know what? God bless them. Amen. And you know what? Not only we teach our people to return that, then as well as we teach our people from their 90%, that's the time to express the love to God. Amen. That's how we support our local missionaries. That's why we have missionaries that go to Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand. We teach our people to give on mission also so that we can spread out the gospel. We can finance the gospel because in doing so, God will bless you. Amen? Now, in closing, chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. Open your Bible. Chapter 4 in the book of Philippians. Open your Bible. Chapter 4 in the book of Philippians. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, Apostle Paul expresses appreciation of those churches that supported his work. Okay? Now he said in verse 11. Now in verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And now at last your," what is the word? "Care of me hath flourished." Again, the word care. When Apostle Paul received the support from this church brought by this Epaphroditus, delivered to Apostle Paul, Apostle Paul concluded his epistle, "Church, thank you for caring your missionary. Church, you show your care to your missionary when you pray and send your support." Amen? Now look, he said here in verse 14. Verse 14. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my" what? "Affliction." Church, you communicate the afflictions, the hardships, and the trials, and the difficulties of the missionaries when you send your prayers and your support. And then he said here in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." He said 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may abound in your account." Listen to me, verse 15, what you're doing here. Verse 15, he said, "But I have all abound, and I am full, and having received Epaphroditus, the things, the offerings, and the supports which were sent from you as odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable," what is the word? "Well pleasing unto God." Church, when the Bible says a sweet odor and a sweet odor in the Old Testament time, when they worship God, they have to kill the animal and cut some fats and burn it. And then after the burn, there will be a good smell, and the smoke will arise all the way, and the Holy Ghost will come down. And that's not the time that God is pleased, and the Holy Ghost will come down and accept the worship unto the Lord. When you bring your mission giving on Sunday, that's what you're doing. And that's the time, verse 19, that you can claim that verse, "That my God shall supply all your need. Hallelujah. God promised that all your personal need, all your family need, all your church need, God promised to supply that if you remain as missionary giving Christian, as missionary giving church. By the way, I will close. You have no right to claim that God will supply all your need unless you make your part to be faithful in your missionary prayer and missionary giving. Amen. When you do, God said, I will supply all you need. Hallelujah for the book. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah for the word of God. God, the word of God will change our life, will change our attitude, and it will change our Christianity and our perspective and outlook in this world. Amen. So I just pray that after preaching this, the Lord really will start working in you tonight. Let us pray. Our gracious